Good evening.
Pretend like I'm not here.
Good evening.
Let's open our hymnals. Turn to 534. 534. Send the light.
One, two, congregation.
Okay. So actually, I'm before that. I'm up here. So are we okay to do three then?
You're
I'm here already?
There. Yep.
Okay. I'm out of order. Send the light, 534. Let's stand as we sing 534 new hymnals. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. The light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Thank you. Please remain standing for opening prayer.
We are happy to have the Cox family with us, most of the Cox family, and a special prayer of dedication later on in the service, but some special music. So after the prayer, we'll ask for the first special. Okay, so if you need to scurry around while we have our eyes closed, that'll be fine. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for the opportunity to turn to you tonight to rest our soul upon thee, to think again of the glories of salvation and the offer that you have made. We thank you for the example given to us this morning, Pastor Porter talking about the Philippian jailer and his misunderstanding and how he understood after the preaching of the word. We ask that you might help us to be like that, to see things in the proper perspective as we speak tonight concerning the Ethiopian eunuch. But we ask, Father, that you might help us to rejoice in thee. May the music that abounds all about us turn our attention to thee. May it truly be a hymn of praise to thee, a spiritual song of testimony, and a psalm where the very words of the scripture are declared to us. So we pray thy blessing as we turn this evening in a very special way over to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be amazing just to have music at your fingertips? Put these things together and glorious music comes out. We are so happy to see each of you here. Most of you. No, I'm glad to see all of you here. And the tough weather has made it hard on a lot of folks, but we thank the Lord for warming it up for us and making it a little nicer. If you notice in your bulletins that the character quality for the week is hospitality, and we're going to have a little bit of hospitality after the service, fellowship out in the foyer for the Cox family, and send them off with their tummies full and they're ready to get going on their services. Making other people comfortable with our possessions. And one of the great joys of having a possession is be able to share it with others and make them comfortable. The prayer and praise service on Wednesday, the Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, the men's prayer breakfast. And then on next Sunday, not only is it the official opening of Melody Baptist Church, but for us, the sunrise service, we schedule sunrise a little late here, but it's at 8 o'clock. And so then about 8:30, we'll start the Sunday school. And that will go till 9:30. So then regular services to follow. And then April 15th, I actually took a picture of this page and sent it to President Dennis, just saying, just a friendly reminder that you're scheduled for next month. And then I said, barring heavy snowfall. So we never know here when that's going to happen, right? So he sent me the thumbs up emoji there. Is that right? Would that be an emoji? It's not an emotion at all, is it? I don't know. But anyway, so he's on track for that. The point that we're making in the bulletin is that they need, to try to be precise, a whole lot of money to build this dormitory. The prices have gone up. The quote was given to me. I take the quote from one of them that said they used to be able to build an entire building, have it completed by what it's going to be costing for the digging and the building of the foundation of this thing. So, but, you know, that's not a problem for God. No. Not a problem for the God who owns the wealth in every mine, and all the cattle and all the hills, and all this. So, but if you, if God lays it upon your heart to help house, I remember when Charity was coming to school, they lived out of town. They had to find a kindly person that lived out a home where she could stay. And I know that because I would come by and pick you up several times. But how much nicer to be right there on the campus, have the dormitory. I think a lot of people would come if they knew the children could stay at the supervised dormitory. So this is a key to any kind of a growth for Heritage Baptist College. And if you'd like to have a part in that, we would appreciate you doing that. You can do that at any time before they come, or when they come, when he comes. I'm assuming that he'll have his family with him, but that doesn't always work with Liliana. Sometimes she's not feeling well, or that type of thing. You can give it, just designate it for Heritage. We'll save it up and present the grand total at the time. The old theologian William Law said, Christianity does not consist in any partial amendment of our lives, any particular moral virtues, but an entire change of our natural temper, a life wholly dedicated to God. That's what repentance means. Repentance is that Greek word metanoiao, meta meaning the change of, and noiao is the mind, the entire mind. It's the way you think, the way you feel, the way you decide things. That has to change by giving it to the Lord. And then we're praying for Jesse and Laura Garza, trying to build the Latin church here in Indianapolis now. So we look forward to hearing of that. We received this miraculously in a blank envelope.
That's the way it was given.
Yeah, there you go. Delivered by Nancy Tunis. So we have, I'm thinking, four different colored bears, one of them in Long John pajamas. But they're holding up signs that say, "Thank you very much." Very colorful. And the printed part says, "That was so nice." So written in hand, "Thank you so much for your thoughtful gift." This is of the care package that we sent. Like I had anything to do with it. "I appreciate it so much. God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Numbers 6, 24 to 26, Rebecca Tefera. So glad that she was included in the care packages, and she's happy that she was as well, evidently. So saying thank you. We'll ask our usher to come. We'll worship the Lord with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to give to you for the work here and the work all around the world. We pray that you might bless the Garzas especially. We see the large Latin community, Latino community that we have here in Indianapolis, the many Mexican restaurants and shops and so on. We just, Father, our heart yearns for them to hear the gospel plainly in the languages that they can clearly understand. We pray that you might bless the Garzas, keep them well, keep them safe, help them to do the job that you've called them to do here. We pray thy blessing on our offering in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Lord. We're going to have another congregational song, and then we'll turn it over for two specials in a row, whatever order you choose, one after the other.
Let's turn to hymn number 504, 504, "Oh Say But I'm Glad That I Don't Have to Do the Specials." No, "Oh Say But I'm Glad." "There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say but I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul can sing. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come when my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Well, this song's entitled A Shelter in the Time of Storm. And after that snowstorm, it seemed kind of appropriate. Stone's Church this morning, and they were having a special emphasis, stars in my crown, earning rewards in heaven. And so he asked me to sing, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown, this morning. So I thought you wouldn't mind having it as well. It is one of my favorite songs. Through one
I should have thought of this earlier, but I'm going to need someone to run down and bring up three folding chairs that look alike, preferably the padded ones. Before we have a special prayer of dedication for the Cox family and for the beginning of Melody Baptist Church, official beginning, I've asked Brother Cox to come and share with us a testimony, kind of take us from the beginning and the search for a ministry and then what God did. Come on up here.
We left Eastview Easter, last service was Easter 2016 at Eastview. And so then we were searching for the next ministry. I knew God wanted me to pastor somewhere. And so for about 8 months, we found out it wasn't anywhere else but Connersville. Traveled around Pennsylvania to Montana to Colorado and places around this state and the next one and Michigan and so on. But churches that needed a pastor. And so anyway, we found out where we weren't pastoring, okay, and for 8 months. And so then God impressed on my heart the testimony that Pastor Rick Stone had shared with me concerning a similar circumstance in his own life and in the previous July. And so then I realized what my youth pastor said back when I was a teenager, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea. And so God calls us to be witnesses where we are. And I didn't need to look any further. But I said, well, Lord, I don't have to start a church. And God laid on my heart to start a church. And for such reasons as it would be the only Baptist church since Eastview closed down that still preached out of the King James Bible. And there were some people in the community that said that was a need there. And so anyway... besides that, we wanted to raise the standard in the area of music, and so, okay. But Lord, I don't have the money. And so we went ahead with the call in November. We started setting up our books, our banking, and all that stuff, you know, and getting checks and account and so on, and started having services in nursing homes. And so our church services were on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And at the beginning, about 4 nursing homes. Now it's just 3. We're in one service. We're in one of them on Wednesday nights, another one on Sunday nights, and the third one in the second Sunday night of every month. But anyway, and then we preach around on the last Sunday night of months. But anyway, so we dug in, we prayed, and God started sending money. There was $1,000 from a church I pastored in Walla Walla, Washington. And so money has come from churches I've pastored, even Greencastle sent $1,000 in November. And the most unlikely of churches, we have friends there. There's no problem that way. But nevertheless, still, we just never expected it from them. And but God sent $1,000 just from them. So it came from a variety of sources, friends and past ministries that I have pastored and been in evangelism in churches over the years and such. And so God has provided. And wow, did God ever provide when y'all sent a check over to our church. And that was so exciting. As Brother Tunis and his son and myself were walking out of the bank there in Connersville, I said, I can hardly believe this is happening, but I know it is. And but anyway, it was such a blessing. And wow. When we were needing to be out of, and they weren't mean-spirited about this, but in the church parsonage we were staying in, they had to sell their building. They felt that was God's will for them to sell it. And so they needed us to be out by April 1st. Well, on March the 1st, when we got the news about that, we didn't know where we were going yet, all right? We got to have a place to live and a place to have church. And we sure started looking hot and heavy even harder and to speed this thing up if we could. But when one item caved in that we were doing an online auction, and then, our hearts were sinking that we didn't get what we thought was going to work out, you know. And so, well, God, what do you want us to do? And God impressed on my heart to go driving around. And we saw this house on 700 Western Avenue that said, make an offer. And so we made an offer, $5,000, and he took it, sold, he said. And so anyway, we had a place, and we were moved in. We were moved out of the other place by April 1st, and so it really happened. That was a year ago. And Seth come and got us, when the power company said, okay, the electric's on, you got to do your own thing that you're in now. And Seth came and helped us get set up at the box at our end a little bit there and down in the basement and so on. And then my brother came, did some more. But we could move in after Seth came and got us started, all right, and with some electricity. And but anyway, hallelujah, it has happened. A lot of work has gone into this. There have been churches, Crawfordsville, Dan Aldrich, Fremont Street Baptist Church, and down in Bloomington, Calvary Baptist Church, Pastor Stewart, and Fountain Square Baptist Church, Pastor Campbell. They have all sent workers, and of course, your church did too, Brother Tunis. And but anyway, workers have come and helped us with big projects. We'd get, you know, I'm working, trying to get things done by a certain time, and I can't do things fast enough. And so anyway, then the church comes and bails us out, all right? And so praise God. And also family has helped, and we praise God for that. When in December, it got so cold, and I was a plumber's son, okay? I was prepared for water freezing, you know? That was not going to happen to me, you know, a plumber's son, and it didn't. But the sewage froze. I didn't think about that. And never in my life have I ever seen that happen, you know. But it happened, all right. And the street department said, well, we checked the main out there, and it's not our fault at our end. You're on your own. And so they couldn't help us. And the plumber who had helped us on one other occasion getting set up initially with water, he couldn't help out. My brother went to see him, and they put their heads together. He was a Christian man too, and he couldn't figure anything out. And so my brother, I had called him up. I said, help! He came. And so he just called on the Lord to help him and be creative, and he found where the problem was. It was even 4 foot down under the sidewalk, it was froze, okay? And on into the house, okay? And then we had a busted pipe in there, too. But you just don't think about these things happening with sewage, okay? And but anyway, it did, and my brother, God helped him to fix that. So things like that. And then last week, doing ceramic tile, and never done it. A little grouting, you know, and a little stuff around the tub once, 25 years ago in a parsonage I did once, you know, but a floor, you know, this is different. And I got a book on it, okay? And so I found out things like you got to jack up your foundation if that's not right, and it wasn't right, of course. And so I had to jack up my flooring, floor joists and so forth, and got advice from my brother. And so some of it didn't make sense to me, but once I dug in, it all kind of made sense as you went along. You know, you just trust the Lord, pray, and do what you know, and God helps you as you go. Well, anyway, we got that done. And then it had to have be built up, because even with that being done, there still was a valley there, and you can't have a valley, okay? No abrupt changes, and or you'll have cracked ceramic tile as time goes by. So anyway, so I had to, it's like playing with puzzles, okay? And a little graphic thing there where you're trying to bring down the hills and raise the valleys and so on, and then you spread this stuff over it to try and make it a leveler, okay? And then you're ready to, and so we put down some tar paper. In my case, you could do other stuff more modern, but I had tar paper, so we did that. And so put down Luann boards and such, and then we put we got her all ready now, and we put down this preset or thin set, okay? My brother's come by now. I said, help! And so I've read the directions, and I still need help. I'm behind now, and so he came. He said, I'll be there Monday and Tuesday. And he stayed Wednesday, and he stayed Thursday, and he never went home till Friday. Now, my brother's self-employed, okay? This was a great sacrifice, and I was so overcome with joy and appreciation. And my brother said, you've got to open your church on Easter. And he was just as much in it as me. I think Mom and Dad, looking down from heaven, were overjoyed. Their two sons working together to build a church. That's what my wife said. And so he caught us up, okay? And he taught my daughter Julia and I how to do this, okay? And so that what little is left, we're going to finish it up. And but anyway, we can still have church next Sunday, even as is, okay? But we're going to finish it, and Lord willing, anyhow, before Easter. But anyway, hallelujah. Just church came yesterday from Fountain Square, and they helped us with getting some last-minute things, like after you grind stone, you know, ceramic tile, boy, dust everywhere. And and then, of course, there's the sawdust and everything. You got to redo the floors, okay? Re-oil the floors. And all those sweet ladies, they were down on their knees re-oiling the floors in the chapel area and so forth. And the preacher's son was helping out with getting our books ready for a nursing home. And also, a church sent books, hymn books from Paul Roblin. From Virginia. He started a church over there, and they had extra, so he sent us some. And but anyway, my brother got the bathroom door on the ladies' restroom. That's all done. This church yesterday got the lavatory set up in the ladies' restroom. We now have an operating ladies' restroom with the door on it, okay? You can lock it, okay? Hallelujah. So we got a men's restroom, a ladies' restroom. We are ready. Hallelujah. And now there's things we'd like to have all done, tidied up, a little extra beyond that, but we'll take it as we go. This week's going to be a week of extra door knocking. extra door knocking. There are people who've been coming to our nursing home services that say, hey, when's your first service in your church? And so some of them say they're coming. There's relatives that say they're going to come Easter Sunday. Calvary Baptist in Bloomington, there's about 13 of them that say they're going to come and be with us in our first service on Easter. We've been working on our neighborhood. There's a guy named Billy who said just a block down, that's a half block. He said he's going to come. There's a guy that had a stroke and due to smoking, not that he's quit smoking, but anyway, he just gets around on a cane and it's hard for him to walk and things. His son comes, picks him up, do the groceries and stuff. But nevertheless, he doesn't know the Lord yet, but he said he's coming on Easter. And I've been working on the lady behind us, and she was a blind lady. I thought she would receive our help, but as soon as I mentioned the name of Jesus, she turned sour, didn't want to ever come back again. Even my sweet girls tried to talk, and she didn't want nothing to do with them. And because of the name of Jesus. Now, I said, Lord, it'd be nice to have somebody there that would like to come. And, well, God moved her out, and we got a new one about a month ago. And so I knocked on her door, and I said, hey, we're starting church on Easter. How would you like to come? And she said, maybe that's why God moved me here. I need to be in church, she said. And I said, hallelujah, we're next door, all right? And she said, I'll be there. And she's been introducing me to her daughters and granddaughters and grandsons as they show up next door. So I've been getting acquainted with family, and so we're going to have her and some family on Easter. And so we have some folk that say they're going to come. And I'm going to be doing lots of door knocking this week and round up some more. But Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And God uses people like you and your pastor. And God, you've been praying for us for years in various ministries we've been in. We thank you so much. And my wife, God has just blessed me with a wonderful wife. And she's been in every ministry, wholehearted with everything she's got. And I never forget her going out west with us back in 2016, and probably her health was in the best at that time. And she was just, it's like the old days, returned there for 3 weeks, traveling every day on the road, one place and another, many miles down the road, and she loves the scenery out west, and so she enjoyed it all. But services every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night from one state to another, and she did fine. And we got back, and then, so she has been slowly rebuilding. Well, hospitality takes a lot out of her. But last week, my brother was there from Monday to Friday, okay? And she handled it. And she's okay still, okay? She's ready and raring to go, and she's not been set back or nothing. So hallelujah. We thank God that God is preparing her for this, and I thank God for my children. They love the Lord. They were this and everything. They're missionaries, too, and I thank God for them. And Julie sews all their outfits, and Charity fixes all our meals. Sometimes, Julie's helped me with laying linoleum. She's helped me with grouting of the ceramic tile, and my wife helps me when I'm on a ladder getting tools for me and things. Well, Charity is up there cooking the best eating you ever had in your life, let me tell you. When you're tired and hungry and ready to eat, boy, she's Johnny on the spot. Whether we have a lot in the cupboard or very little, she's very creative, and it always tastes like wow. Wow, MCL or better. It's just awesome the way she cooks. So I thank God for my daughters. It's God uses them, and it's happening. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. And so I thank God for my family, for my friends, and this church has been like a home church to us, and we thank you ever so much. God bless you.
Porter, Pastor Giver, would you come on up here? You just have a seat here.
I'm sure they'd be fine kneeling, but I thought this would be... this would be better. Would you come on over here? And you stay over here, and I'll be in the middle. There, right there. All right. I was doing just a little study on the idea of a prayer of dedication and praying and laying on of hands for God's blessing. What we find in the Scripture is that Jesus, in the New Testament, Old Testament, they laid hands on the scapegoat, transferred their sins to them. But we're not going to do that today. But in the New Testament, it's always for a benefit. And in fact, for healing. Jesus often laid his hands on the sick. The picture of communicating healing, of communicating his power onto them. We have some other examples of healing. Ananias, remember, laid his hands on poor old Saul of Tarsus for him to receive his sight. The apostles laid hands on Samaritans after they got saved, and they received the sign gifts of tongues. And then Paul laid hands and prayed over the father of Publius. This is on the island of Malta after the shipwreck. And they thought he was a horrible prisoner that had escaped the shipwreck only to die at by a poisonous snake, and then he just shook it off into the fire, and they said, oh, he must not be a prisoner, he must be a god. But he got him straightened out, and then he healed the father. But we have also examples of non-healing laying on of hands. There was a case of empowering after salvation. The Apostle Paul met a group of men in Ephesus who were introduced to him as saved people, but in talking with them, he asked them the question, how long has it been since you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, well, we didn't even know that he was that was a thing. We didn't know that was a possibility. And so he led them to the Lord, and then they received Christ, and they were baptized, and then he, by laying on of hands, they received a gift of tongues and of prophecy, guaranteeing to them that they knew that this had been real. We find two other examples that come closer to what we're doing tonight. One is the blessing in the work. The ritual of ordination was performed by the laying on of hands by church leaders. 1 Timothy 5:22. We got that up there? Yeah. Lay hands suddenly on no man. That doesn't mean don't jump out of the shadows and grab him. It means don't lay the hands of ordination on a man suddenly, neither be partaker of another man's sin, keep thyself pure. The idea of not doing it rashly. Don't ordain someone to the ministry that's a novice. But the closest to what we're trying to do, I think, is it was the church leaders at Antioch, and he lists all of them who were serving there, various roles in the church. It was the church leaders at Antioch who laid hands and prayed to send Paul and Barnabas to their evangelistic ministry. And the guiding verses are Acts 13:2-3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they, these church leaders that he just referenced in verse 1, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said to these leaders, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This was going to be a traveling ministry, missionary work, but more like what we would think of evangelists, like you folks traveling out through the West there. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This was the communication, as it were, of their goodwill, of all that they could hope for them. And I think all of us have been fasting since lunch, right? Pretty much? Okay. But we do want to spend some time in prayer. I'd like for the church, as it were, if you're not disabled or anything, would you just come on up and stand in front of the group here. We'll lay hands gently on the pastor and his family. And what we want to do is to send our best wishes, send our most devoted prayers with these folks, that God will be shown powerful in the ministry at Melody Baptist Church starting next Sunday morning. What a great thing. We're on the edge of it. We're out on the verge of it, right? Amen. Let's pray. And I'll begin, and then I'll ask Pastor Porter to pray, and Pastor Miro, if you'd close for us. Our Father, it's a serious time when we call upon you for empowering, for the blessing, for the protection. I think of the church that sent Paul and Barnabas out into fields unknown, not knowing what they would meet, what they would come up against. And Father, the story of this woman that was not only blind physically, but blind spiritually, who would reject their offers even of kindness because of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you might help protect them from those that would be blind and those that choose to be blind. But Father, open the hearts, as you did of Lydia in Philippi and the others, open their hearts to the gospel. Father, there are difficulties there in Connersville. There are people that are hungering and thirsting after that which does not satisfy. And you have all that they need if they only knew it. Now I ask, Father, that you might bless them, keep them, improve everybody's health, keep everyone well and safe, but also give them powers beyond their own, powers of persuasion, powers of speech, powers of music, for you delight in these things. Part of the temple worship was all the singers and the music. We just ask, Father, that our investment in this work will bring forth the dividends that we've intended, and that is a church raised up for your honor and your glory and showing your power in it all. We pray it. Amen.
Lord God, as we continue in prayer, I thank you for Brother Cox and his family, for the love that they've shown me and the love that they've shown your people and their service to you. I pray, Father, that you might bless them now and be with them, that you might fill them with your grace and love and uphold them in the days ahead and smooth the way before them, that they might be able to reach the people of Connersville and the surrounding area for your name's sake. I pray, Father, that you just keep them strong and healthy and be a source of comfort and uplifting to them. And I pray, Father, that you might provide for them, that they might be able to accomplish this work unhindered and might be able to meet their needs, Father. Your word says that all things are yours. And I pray, Father, that you just give Brother Cox and his family not just the finances, but the what they need, the skills, the utterance, the grace to do that which pleases you and how best to serve these people. We thank you for them and pray you be with them. Thank you, Father, for your love towards us.
Almighty Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this great time we have before your presence. We thank you for our brother and his family. We appreciate and we are thankful for the desire you put in your people's heart to serve you and to represent you in this wicked world. Gracious Lord, we present them before your presence. As we are praying, stretch forth your hand and bless my brother and his family. Mm-hmm. O Lord our God, you are almighty. You are all-knowing. You are all-wise. You know everything that is ahead of them. And we pray, bless them and be with them. Be with them by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit and straighten forth the way they are going and give them many people to come and to hear and to listen and to be instructed and to be taught by your great and almighty wisdom. O Lord, open the mouth of our brother as he is speaking. Speak through him to the people who are going to be gathered there. Mm-hmm. And bring many, many, many people from the surrounding area to listen the wonderful gracious, redeeming grace that you are offering to people to come and to be saved by your almighty power. O Lord, use him. Mm-hmm. And bless his tongue, and bless his sound, and bless the family that are upholding his ministry, and made them a blessing and fruitful in this part of the world, that many, many to be evangelized and to be saved by your graciousness. And we pray, gracious Lord, you are rich. You have everything that is needed for your people. Mm-hmm. Bless them by whatever they need. And make them a testimony for your blessing, even by being with your people. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord, we pray all this mercy. And we also pray next week as they are going to gather for the first gathering. Gracious Lord, lead that gathering by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit and bring in many and make that place a place of evangelism for the salvation of many and for the glory of your name. Mm-hmm. We ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, folks.
This has been a good service. I think that's enough. We've been to the Word of God, and we've had our time of prayer, and we've got a fellowship out there.
Yeah, now it's time to do the traditional Baptist thing and go eat.
All right. Oh, Pastor, God bless you. Yes.
For everybody, can you take a picture of the
yes.
three pastors
yes.
and the
prophet? Yeah.
About that.